This morning's reading will be taken from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. Her senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hands to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teachings of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household, and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates.
Thank you, Chris. Mother's Day is the day that we honor our mothers. This is that day. It was established several years ago, and according to Wikipedia, not that they're the greatest source all the time, but according to Wikipedia, I don't think anyone would disagree with this particular definition. That it is a celebration honoring mothers and motherhood, maternal bonds, and the influence of mothers in society. I would venture to say that in our society, there probably is more and more of a lack or an underappreciation for motherhood, number one. And number two, probably that reason is due to the fact that there is a misunderstanding of what the nature of true motherhood is all about. You can pick up books in various bookstores that talks about what it means to be a mother, what motherhood is. But it would seem as though that there are far more references and far more publications talking about the role of woman rather than the role of motherhood. And there would seem to be a lot more information regarding women's rights and equal rights than there would be in reference to motherhood. It's sort of a shame in that we've gotten past the days of Father Knows Best and Leave It to Beaver, and we have things such as Modern Family. We have sitcoms that seem to speak more along the lines of the nature of what the world sees is the responsibilities of mothers, which is really more along the lines of being about yourself, seeking what has been removed from you, desperately striving to find equality. And no one would say, and to suggest that the Bible teaches otherwise. When we think about equality, the Bible clearly acknowledges the fact that in reference to spiritual matters, all are equal. Paul clearly said that in the book of Galatians. And when it comes to those matters, that's what we're concerned with. When we think about the fact that there are different roles that each person plays, that does not mean that one is not equal to the other. when one needs to have authority and one needs to be the head and the other needs to submit and the other needs to be the nurturer, that doesn't mean that one, by virtue of their role, is not equal to the other. And yet that's the way that the world would interpret that. It's truly a shame when we think about motherhood today. It's a shame that there are so many who view children and who view their responsibility as a mother from a very skewed perspective. I can tell when this year I've driven several different buses in our school district because I've just kind of been subbing. But I've been on this one bus the last 2 or 3 weeks, and there's this one particular little girl, she's a second grader, and when she gets on the bus, not only is she look like she's ready to go to church, she is so well dressed, her hair is put up, various styles I've noticed over the past week, but her mom is standing at the bus stop. She's only like half a block away, but she's standing at the bus stop to make sure that her little daughter, Felicity, gets on the bus. And when Felicity gets off in the afternoon, her mom is standing at the bus stop to make sure that she gets off the bus. There are a lot of other girls that I've picked up who their hair is matted. It looks like they've slept in the yard. It looks like they've put on whatever happened to be laying around the bed. And there have been times that those individuals have passed by, and I know that they've got a cat, and not to be gross, but I can smell the cat must have used their clothing as something other than clothing. And it just reminds me of the fact that, you know, we live in a world in which there seems to be just a total unappreciation for the bountiful gifts that's been given. And motherhood is that very thing. Motherhood is designed by God as a celebration, as a purpose, as a design. All these things God has put into play. In Genesis chapter 1, it was God who made woman for man, and that relationship was established. Whenever it comes to, well, how should I be as a man? How should I act as a man? What should my role as a father be? God established that. Psychologists didn't do that. Psychiatrists didn't do that. Family counselors didn't do that. And if that's the case with fatherhood, it is certainly the case with motherhood, where God saw that it was not good for man to be alone, and so created a woman from his side. God designed, God planned, God purposed the very nature of motherhood. And so when a woman who is going to become a wife wants to know how she needs to be as a wife, when a woman who is now a wife wants to become a mother, the place that we go to is not the self-help section book or the section in Walmart. The place that we go to find out what we need to be as a women need to be as a wife or as a mother is not, well, I'll Google that and see what the experts say. The place where we should go is God. God is the originator of that. And so for a little while this morning, let's just think about that very aspect. What did God say? How many times do we understand, go back to the original intent to determine what was the purpose, what was the thought process behind this creation? And so let's look at that for a little while this morning. There are some qualities that the Bible gives in reference to a godly mother. Now, I want you to understand that they may run headlong against what society says. They may go against what the common psychobabble is being published. They may go against psychologists and family counselors and school counselors. I could really care less about that, because we're going to the ultimate expert. The one that created this, established this, designed this, and put this into place. And so We don't need to go to the experts to see if God can be validated in what he said. We go to God because God doesn't need validation. God could swear by no one higher than himself, the Hebrew writer states. So I don't need to find an expert. I got the expert of all experts on what God says. Let me tell you the first thing that we need are women committed to the Lord. And that's where it has to start. They may be, when it comes to a nurturer, you may be Felicity's mom when it comes to being a nurturer. You may be the mom that makes sure that your daughter has clean clothes on, that makes sure your daughter has her hair put up, that makes sure that she gets on the bus, that makes sure that she gets off the bus. When it comes to that, you may be that. I have no idea of the spiritual condition of Felicity's mom. I'm pretty sure I know. I have no idea about her spiritual condition, which is unfortunate because that's the number one priority. It doesn't matter if you are the best nurturer, the best caregiver, the best provider. If you fail to be committed to God, then all of that is just window dressing. All of that is temporary and temporal. And I'll guarantee you, when you look back, if you have children that are unfaithful, when you look back, you don't look back on all those mornings that you were at the bus stop, all those mornings that you were brushing your child's hair, all those mornings that you were getting up early and that you were cooking breakfast and that you were making sure that everything was going as it needed to go and that they were getting done what they needed to get done and they were ready to go to school. You won't look back on that with fond memories. What you'll look back on is the fact that I wasn't committed to God, and as a result of that, my children aren't committed to God. That's what you'll remember. And you'll remember that not so fondly. Notice that in the example that Chris read for us in Proverbs chapter 31. This is the very thing that King Lemuel's mother wanted him to understand. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. When you think about the various shows that we see on television, beauty queens and mothers forcing their young children into beauty pageants, I always think about this passage and think these are mothers who haven't figured out that charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, and all of the titles and all the pageants and all the trophies that are won are worthless, meaningless. A woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Why is that? Because look at what she's producing. Verse 31. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. That which she is producing is a child who has a healthy respect for what's important in life. It's not that they're not going to dress up. It's not that they're going to try to make themselves look presentable. But they understand, that child, especially if it's a daughter, that daughter's going to understand it's fine to have charm. It's fine to look presentable. It's fine to make sure that you present yourself in the best physical way that you can, but that really in the end isn't really all that important. That's not the most important thing. And a woman who does that, a mother who does that, is teaching a practical spiritual sense to her daughter. And her daughter will understand what's really important in life. In Proverbs, or in 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 5, Paul writes to Timothy and says, I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. 2 Samuel, we learn of the story of Hannah and how that she was without child and how that she desperately wanted a son, especially, to continue the lineage of her husband. And when she prayed, and you remember that Eli thought that she was drunk and scolded her and said, put away your wine, your drink. She said, no, my Lord, I am not drunk. And she explained her condition, her predicament, her problem. And he said that her prayers would be answered. She had prayed that if God would give her a son, that at the appropriate time when he was old enough, that he would give him back to the Lord. I don't know that as guys we can appreciate probably the sacrifice that that was for her. And yet she had made a bargain, if you will, with the Lord, that if he would bless her, she would bless him with his service. And she didn't rationalize when she finally got that opportunity to have to make that choice. She didn't justify that, well, surely God would expect me to keep him. She didn't make all kinds of excuses as to why she should not honor that promise. Some might say, well, how could a mother give up her son? And yet look at the kind of person that Samuel became. Not very many years did she have him. But as the story got out as to why Samuel was with Eli and not with his mother, and as Samuel understood that his mother had given him up, not because